Are you ready? He's back. He's better. And he's got something to say. You've tuned in for your daily inspiration. Welcome to the I've Got Something to Say podcast. Here's your host, David Mastin.
David Mastin.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the I've Got Something to Say podcast. I'm so glad that you joined me today. This has been a long time coming. I've been working on this for quite some time now. Been planning and doing and started off strong and buying equipment and doing everything that I can to get going. And I had this period of doubt that I was battling with. Not wanting to do it. Just feeling insignificant. Feeling like, for a moment, feeling like my voice didn't matter. And that I would be irrelevant and that no one would want to hear me. And, I was just like, yo, I don't want to do it. Maybe I shouldn't do it. Maybe this idea wasn't from God. Maybe it was, but I'm doing it, right? I'm doing it. For those who don't know me, again, like the intro said, my name is David Mastin. I am a minister. And I have struggled for a very long time to say those words that I am a minister. I'm a minister for Jesus Christ. And the reason why I've struggled with that is because the last 2 years have just been bananas. It's just been crazy. And I want to say it's been about almost 2 years. If it's not exactly 2 years, almost 2 years since I've did, any type of ministry or any type of teaching or preaching or anything like that. And for those who've known me and have heard me before, you probably haven't heard me in a while or have heard anything from me in a while. And that's just because, I was struggling. And recently something happened, or I was alerted of something that happened that made me decide to go ahead and really get started. To give a brief little history for those, for people out there, for those who've never heard me before or don't know anything about me. I used to go to a school called Wayne State University in Detroit, Michigan. Shout out, go Warriors. And there I was a part of a campus ministry. And today, I was alerted that somebody that I knew that was a part of that ministry, not at Wayne State. At the time we had multiple branches, but we had one that was in Jackson as well. He was a part of this gentleman was a part of the Jackson one, but I was familiar with him. Matter of fact, he had married one of the secretaries that used to be, in the Detroit campus. And, he took his life not too long ago, maybe a couple days ago. And, it was a guy. He had, 3 kids. I know he loved his kids. I hadn't actually talked to him in a while. Which makes it even worse, or makes me feel even worse because you never know, or you never know what someone is dealing with on the inside, right? And he had three kids that he loved. And you see something happen like that, or you hear about something that happens like that, and it just shocks you. It shocks you to your core. And when I read it, I said to myself, or something on the inside was saying, you still think now is not the time, or you still think you'll be irrelevant. Like somebody is dealing with what you should be talking about. And so if this episode only helps one person, then it only helps one person. But the topic of this episode is that depression is a thief. Depression is a thief. And for the past 2 years, I have really struggled with depression. And I know for those that grew up old school, like my parents did, you know, some of you may believe that children of God don't get depressed, or that Christians don't get depressed, or that Christians shouldn't get depressed. Growing up in the church, you would hear things like, child of God should not be depressed. Or you'll hear things that says, a child of God should not feel hopeless. Or a child of God should not feel defeated. And you know all the terms. Like, there was a song that the church I went to used to sing. And the name of the song was, I've been running for Jesus a long time and I'm not tired yet. And, you know, I would clap and sing along, but I said, God, that's not my testimony. Like, I am tired. Like, I am tired. You know, I wasn't in the best marriage. I was struggling with real bad self-esteem. I was struggling with feeling hopeless, feeling like I was worthless, that I wasn't worthy. I felt like everyone counted me out. No one believed. Not necessarily no one believed in me, because people did believe in me. But I just always felt like when it came to somebody else, I was never good enough, right? I would always compare myself to the person who I felt had been preaching, that was preaching on bigger platforms or ministering on different levels. And I'm like, man, I wish I could be on that level, but I'm not good enough. And you go to these conferences and you get hype for a week, 2 weeks, but then you go home, you deal with life, you deal with what your situation is, and you just keep plummeting. You keep plummeting. And I thought I was ugly. I thought I was insignificant. I thought my opinions and my thoughts didn't matter. And I just thought that I was worthless. And after I had been thinking like that for a very long time. I can remember having thoughts like that when a girl back in high school broke up with me. I didn't eat for a week. And for anybody who knows me, knows that I love food. I love to cook. But when she broke up with me, I thought life was over. And I started to do bad in sports. I wasn't focused. I wasn't paying attention. I couldn't shake it. And I just fell in this deep hole. My friends really didn't know it at the time. And my family really didn't know it at the time. My mom said something about it because she saw that I wasn't eating. And my dad knew about it, but they didn't really know what to say or what to do. And it's no fault of their own, right? They just didn't know. And they didn't know that that was the first time that I had felt depressed like that. But specifically 2 years ago, it got worse. And it got so bad that I attempted to commit suicide multiple times. The last time specifically, it was, I want to say, it might have been, I think it was the day before Christmas. And, my son and his mother and my son's godmother had left to go be with their families. My family, for some odd reason that year, didn't get together. And I was in the basement. I took a orange dress shirt, tied one end of the sleeve to a beam in my basement, tied the other to around my neck. And there was a massage table in the basement, and I had sat on that massage table. And I said to myself, if I can either just jump off or lean off, you know, I can either suffocate myself or snap my neck. And I tied it and I tied it tight. And as I begin to edge to the closer edge of the massage table, I could feel the dress shirt suffocating me. And at that time, I thought, you know, this is what is best for me to do because, I won't have to deal with these feelings anymore. And I won't have to deal with the pressures of life. I won't have to deal with feeling hopeless. I won't have to deal with, you know, my marriage anymore. I won't have to deal with how I think the church thinks of me, like not what they really think, but what I think they think of me. You know, I'm tired of always being misunderstood. I'm tired of being a failure. I'm tired of not making it. I'm tired of people assuming I'm this, but I'm not. Like I'm so sick of it. I'm tired of ministering and preaching and teaching and seeing what everybody else is going through, but nobody sees what I'm going through. And so I started to, that suffocating feeling started to feel good because I thought it was going to be all over. And as I was edging closer and closer, and I said, man, now's the time. I'm going to leap. I'm going to just go forward. Something on the inside, for those of you that grew up in the church, you may say it was the Holy Spirit. All I know is something on the inside just wouldn't let me go through with it. And I remember saying to God, you won't even let me die. And I just started hollering and screaming. And I started crying. And I'm like, man, God, I don't understand why. Is life like this? Like, why is it this bad? And I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. As much as I tried, man, I just couldn't do it. And I ended up untying myself. And I left, went for a drive, and I just was feeling terrible, terrible, terrible. was going to therapy. In the beginning, therapy was helping a little bit, but as we started to dive more into it, I started feeling worse because I was talking about these things of how I felt, and how I felt was this terrible human being. And and it's no fault of the therapy system of its own, but this particular person that I was going to, it was an hour and it was $145 a session. He didn't take insurance. And when 55 minutes came, that was it. And so, you know, I would leave some sessions feeling worse than when I originally went in. And an event happened, but involving my marriage, where it made things way worse. No type of infidelity, no cheating, anything like that, but there was some huge trust issues. We just didn't trust each other. It was just bad trust. And when you don't know people, when you don't get to know somebody before you enter into a relationship with them and know them, not just on a friendship level, but on an intimate level, when you don't know them, you don't have a foundation of trust at all, really. The only connection you have is God. But you don't get in arguments when it comes to a marriage. You don't get in arguments with God. You get in an argument with people. And when those two people don't have a foundation of trust before, on an intimate level, before they hit, and when I say intimate, I'm not talking about sexual. I'm talking about two people intertwining with each other and having a foundation of that trust. And you never build it. When you get into an argument, it's hard because you don't trust this person, and that takes a lot out of both of you. It's a real bad argument, real bad. And then I just plummeted. I can remember going to work, giving it 10 hours, 12 hours of my best, fake smile, fake laugh, and then coming home, going to this lazy boy in the basement and just curling up like a ball. Like, I am 6'2", 300 pounds, and I would curl to a ball in this lazy boy chair, and I would sleep there. I would watch YouTube. I would curl up. I have no idea how I did it, but I would curl up into this just terrible ball, and just lay there and cry myself to sleep. And what I didn't realize then, that I realize now, is that depression was beginning to steal the essence of who I was. I didn't laugh no more. I was never a people person. I've always been an introvert person, but I didn't want to be around people. I didn't want to hang out with family, friends. I didn't have a whole lot of friends, but I became even more just of a loner. And it even started to steal my relationship with God, because I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to read. It started to take away from even my relationship with my son, because I felt so terrible that I did not want him to see his dad curled up in a ball in the basement. I didn't want him to see that. And that hurt. That hurt bad. Because I love my son. I love that kid. He's 4 years old. He is the most loving kid in the world. He's the most trusting kid in the world. That kid sees me and he leaps into my arms. And man, like, I could not take as a man this at the time. He was two, or he may have been turning three. Seeing his dad that jacked up. And so, I wasn't, it would be days I would come in and avoid everybody and just go straight to the basement. And his mom didn't know what I was dealing with, and she tried her best, but she didn't know. My family didn't know until, I had to go into a hospital one day because I was feeling so depressed that, I had to be admitted into a mental institute. And that alone, if I wasn't depressed before I went in there, I was depressed when I got out because they stripped me of everything. My wallet, my keys, the only thing the lady let me have was my phone. She took my belt. They made me stand up against the wall, put my hands on the wall. I felt like a criminal. And depression was stealing who I was as a person. And no matter how hard I tried, I felt like I couldn't win. And, things began to turn for me. It was one day I went to a church service. I was at a mixed congregation, and this Hispanic guy, and the reason this is important, is because my whole life there had been the only black ministers that I had been listening to. I went to a church that was totally different than how I grew up. This church was not predominantly black. It was not the traditional Pentecostal jump, shout, holler, all that kind of stuff. Not that those things are bad, but it wasn't the same. And I went, and this guy talked about God's grace. He didn't talk about it in the sense of, you know, no matter, you know, what you've done in your life, God, it was the love that God's grace brings to someone who believes in him, that accepts you for who you are. It doesn't make excuses for who you are. It doesn't say, oh, that's right. But it takes the essence of who you are and says, I will love you. I will take you. I will hold you. I'll take you as you are. And I will make you, if you stay with me long enough, I will make you who I want you to be. And he just kept talking about God's grace, God's grace, God's grace. And at the end of that sermon, I had never felt so much peace in my life. And the words of God, and I can't explain it. You know, if you may have had this experience before. But I always said before that I heard from God, but this was different. It was this tremendous joy on the inside that pretty much made me feel this peace that I had never felt before. And I heard this small, just distinct voice say to me, I care. Like, I care about how you feel. I care about what you're going through. The biggest thing that depression stole from me was, yes, it stole my personality because I was no longer this guy that joked around anymore. Yes, it deteriorated my relationship with my son. Yes, it killed my self-esteem. Yes, it separated me from praying and fasting and all those things. But the biggest thing that depression stole from me was the belief that God cared. God cared. I had lost all hope that someone, something cared about how I felt and that he could help me. It stole my whole thought of what hope is. And if you've never felt depressed or if you've never had to battle depression, when you're in that black hole, you just feel like all hope is lost. And I don't, man, I hate to sound cliche-ish, but if you're listening to this, and depression has stolen your identity. Depression has ruined your relationships with your families. Depression has separated you at work. Depression has made bright and sunny days seem dark, cloudy, and lonely. You have a hope that is beyond this world. You have a hope. There is a hope available that is beyond how you can currently feel. This hope is found in nobody else but Jesus Christ. And whether you believe in him, whether you don't, I know of a fact. I know for sure. I know for certain that if it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for my relationship with Christ, if it wasn't for God coming at that moment to tell me he still cared, that he cared about how I felt, he cared about how I was treated, he cared about my emotions, him being there, swooping down at my lowest moment, cradling me in his arms, and helping me to feel like I mattered. If it was not for him, if it was not for that, I would not be here. So, I just want you to know, if you're battling depression, I don't care what it's stolen from you. I don't care what state you are in. God cares. God loves you. The Bible says that the thief cometh. And I want to say this verbatim. And yes, this is the King James Version. But in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Depression is a work of demonic force to steal, kill, and destroy you. But thanks be to God, because after it says the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy, it says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You could literally sub the word thief for depression. Depression comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus comes that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Jesus's plan is not for you to feel depressed. Jesus's plan is not for you to feel hopeless. Jesus died on a cross, shed his blood because he loves you and he wants you to have life more abundantly. And I know it's been rough. I know no one understands. I know even I, with what I've been through, may not have been able to pinpoint your pain. But whatever pain that is, don't give up. Please. I know it don't seem like it's going to work out. I know it doesn't seem. And the fact is that you may not. Like, you may not be a millionaire. Like, you may never make more money. You may never, you know, get the baddest wife. You may never, like, you know, make it in the league. You may never, your physical situation may not change, but God can supply a peace, man, that can help you get through it. So I'm going to say this prayer, and I hope I was able to help you. I hope that, man, you listen to these words. God's grace is enough. When Paul, who was in the Bible, there was a guy named Paul, and I want to make sure that I'm not assuming that everybody knows the Bible, but there was a guy in the Bible who was a messenger from God, who was a servant of God. His name was Paul. And when Paul was going through the worst season of his life, and he answered to God and he asked God, "Lord, take this pain from me." God's response to Paul was, "Is my grace is sufficient for you." And those words, though it didn't solve Paul's problem, it let Paul know that God cared and that God was going to see him through. Wherever you are, wherever you may be listening to this, if it's one person, if it's 20 people, if it's 1,000, God cares And so I just want to pray with you real quick. And my hope is that after today, that the same way that God's grace came into my life and helped me out my pain is the same thing that God does for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for the words that you've given me. And I thank you for the experiences that you've sent me through. Father, there are people all over the world in this crazy pandemic time have no one to talk to. They're feeling a pain that they've never felt before. They can't drink it away. They can't take a pill away. Like, God, nothing is helping them that they've tried to do physically. And so, God, I'm asking that you send your grace and your peace to that individual who hears this now. That, Father, you pick them up, that you give them joy, that you give them peace, and that, God, you help them in everything that they may be going through. Father, have mercy upon us. Keep us safe. Keep us well. Father, we thank you and we praise you and we give you glory and we trust you to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all so much for taking the time to listen to me and to take the time to tune into this podcast. I hope I was able to say something to you tonight, today, whenever you're listening to it. I'm recording it at night right now. But I hope I was able to say something to you that encourages you. And man, just don't give up. God cares. There are people who care. Find somebody. Go talk to a therapist. Go talk to your pastor. Find a friend. If none of those individuals are available, God cares. You can talk to him. God bless you. And I can't wait till the next episode. Y'all be blessed.
Make sure you subscribe to the I've Got Something to Say podcast and all your podcast streaming services.